shepherd according to God. Does it sound quite simple? Shepherding. Don't all of us, or most of us, know what shepherding is? We can't deny whatever it is that we know or have experienced. But let's not hold on to that. Let's be poor in spirit with a learning attitude toward the Lord Himself. And shepherding according to God, then how can we do something in shepherding according to God? So we need a very brief opening word. And first, just some introductory comments about shepherding. Shepherding is all-inclusive, tender care. It's care. If someone is shepherding you, that means they really care for you. They have in their heart a care, a loving concern for you. And they may have some realization of what you need. And they're not here to examine or to criticize, but to care for you. All-inclusive care. This involves very, very different aspects of our being. This is shepherding. And just reflect for a moment without being too subjective. Can you remember times when someone in the church, they really shepherded you in this way? They didn't come and say, hi sheep, I'm here to shepherd you. You're just having a 3-minute conversation after the meeting. And you walk away refreshed and supplied because that was all-inclusive tender care. But shepherding has a much deeper and profound aspect. And I'm just thankful for Brother Lee's description of this. That shepherding is according to the loving and tender heart of our Father. I will stop here. We need to know the loving and tender heart of God our Father. May I ask you gently, following what Paul says in John, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, He's saying, we're writing to you that you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. When was the last time you had fellowship with the Father? You realize there are just certain needs that you have. Even the Son Himself would say, I'm everything to you. But I want to bring you to the Father. You're His child. And you touch the loving and forgiving heart. I just have a kind of definite feeling that there are some persons, maybe many, in this meeting right now, who just need a deep assurance that toward them, God the Father is loving and forgiving. And He wants you to realize that love and forgiving along with the tender heart. And if we are to shepherd, then we need this heart to become our heart. Then the second part of this description is shepherding according to the seeking and shepherding spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know from Luke chapter 15, in the first part of the chapter, that there is a flock of sheep. There should be 100. 99 are there, but one is missing. So he was seeking, and he went out searching until he found him. Again, I ask a gentle question of all of us, but in particular, my fellow co-workers and leading brothers, how much seeking have we done? If someone somehow just fades away from the church life where you are, does it matter? If it matters, then will you seek? Will you search? This is the shepherding Christ. And of course, he's the seeking and the shepherding spirit. Now, there's one other point concerning shepherding, and this will be developed more at the very end, and that is what we call mutual shepherding. So what does that mean? And so get ready now for this. And just gradually you may absorb it. We all are both sheep and shepherds. Every one of you, you're a sheep. And you are a shepherd. This makes it mutuality. It makes it mutual. This means that we're all on the same level. It's not that only the elders are shepherds and we are the sheep. If that is our concept, then we still have the hierarchy of Christianity in our mind. Here are the leading brothers sitting in the front row all the time. I'm not saying they shouldn't. And you just see they're just in a category of their own. Then there's the rest of us. But I assure you, the vast majority of these dear brothers don't think of themselves that way. They don't have that feeling. They're just serving the Lord and functioning. And so we all are both sheep and shepherds. Shepherding and being shepherded in mutuality. And then a brief comment on according to God. Well, in order to be according to God, to put it simply, we have to be God. According to the high peak of the divine revelation, God in life and nature, in constitution, in function, in expression, but not in the Godhead. And now the heart, the loving and forgiving heart, is becoming our heart. According to Ephesians 3, Christ is making his home in our heart. When Christ makes his home, the triune God is there, the Father and the Spirit. And you'll have a loving, concerning, shepherding heart. And it will be part of your daily living. It's not something you do on occasion. It's just now part of what you are. And so then the shepherding according to God, in that procedure, the cross is being applied in a vital way. We're not doing anything by the self, by our simply having responsibility, I have to do it. It's nothing like that. It's just because there's a loving concern. This is a lost sheep, and we want to bring that one back to the Lord's present move on the earth. So this is just a little foretaste. Now we go through, and I will manage the time in this way that I can concentrate on certain portions that are contain a lot of the Lord's loving concern for us. One, to shepherd is to take all-inclusive tender care of the flock. That means all the sheep. We've emphasized this. All-inclusive tender care. And the brothers, especially the sisters in a different way, have to learn how to have a tender heart reproduced in us. Whatever you're doing, even if there's a serious problem with someone and they have to be properly dealt with, but you're doing it with a tender heart. Because the other party, this may be surprising, in most cases, can see right through you. And they may have the thought, I have to agree with what you're doing. I agree with it. I have no problem with this. But the way you're doing it, that's different. Not just the what, but the way. And we will give an account on that day of our interaction with anyone in a shepherding way. Was it Christ shepherding through us with this all-inclusive tender care or not? Shepherding refers to caring for all the needs of the sheep. All the sheep need to be well provided for and well tended to. So this is, in many ways, the essence of the church life. It's mutual shepherding. And I remember one time some years ago in one of the FDTA classes, I'm talking to the brothers and sisters in their earlier middle 20s. I'm sharing something about shepherding. And I had two questions for them, but it's the second question that was important for me. So I asked them, and now I'm asking you again. Am I able to shepherd you? And you don't have to say anything, but here's my question. Can you shepherd me? You can. And some of you have. You're not aware that you have. Despite the contact, I may be 60 years older than you are, but here we are together in this mutual shepherding. Roman 2, in the Lord's recovery today, there is an urgent need of shepherding. I don't want to go into the reasons for the urgency. I just want to present the point. In His organic salvation, God the Father first regenerates us by God the Spirit and then shepherds us in God the Son as our shepherd so that we may exist and grow in life for eternity. So the Father wants all of us to grow to maturity. And this is one crucial aspect and goal and outcome of genuine shepherding is growth in life. And some dear saints that have been in recovery a very long time, and there is no judgment, but there is perception, there is discernment. And for years and years, maybe decades, they haven't grown. And if anyone in their locality is aware of that, what they should do is pray and shepherd. Not correct them, not judge them, but you realize this brother needs to pass through the stage of experiencing the cross applied to the self and their natural constitution. So I'm not here to judge, but just to help guide him through so that he could grow in life. Then you see him 3 years later, and now he's in the fourth stage. He knows the reality of the body. Point B, to shepherd the believers is crucial for their growth in the divine life. This supports what I just said. Crucial for their growth in the divine life. All the parents, when your children are growing, you don't cause their body to grow. But as they're growing physically, you're part of training them to grow humanly. And so this is where the shepherding comes in this aspect. And it's unto maturity or the building up of the body of Christ. So the shepherding for growth, for maturity, for building. And the body cannot build itself up unless more and more saints have grown into maturity through shepherding. Then a brief comment on section 3A and B. Shepherding depends on teaching. If we cannot teach, we cannot shepherd. So there are some dear brothers, they're dear faithful brothers, whether they're actually elders or they're leading brothers, they are faithful, they do the best that they can, they really have a loving concern for the saints, but they're just not able to teach much. So that limits their shepherding. And I just remember decades ago just having a meeting with some of the children when I was there in Texas. And I just shared something, and more than one time they would say, "Brother Ron, this is what my mother told me. This is what my mother taught me." In other words, as their mother was cherishing them, supplying them, caring for them, they could also teach them. They don't have to have a degree. You're just a mom, and you're able to do that. So shepherding and teaching go together. Our shepherding should always be with teaching, and our teaching should always be with shepherding. So if some can just teach, they just want to just fill you up with all kinds of doctrines, that can just wear you out. But that is not matched by the shepherding. Now in this next point, we need to spend some time, because as we're going through it, something is going to happen. I think it's already started. I'll explain to you. I won't leave you guessing what it is. We all need to know and experience Christ as the shepherd of our souls. And in this verse, 1 Peter 2:25, he speaks of this. All we had gone astray, but were brought back to the flock. And now Christ is the shepherd and overseer of our soul. Christ is the shepherd of your soul right now. And on his behalf, I'm just saying this, that there's something in his heart. In the next 15 or 20 minutes and beyond that, that he wants to, not a negative thing, he just wants to care for you and shepherd you inwardly. I mean, wonder, what's going on? Well, Christ is the shepherd of our soul. He's the overseer of our soul. But in order to be the shepherd of our soul, Christ must be, and he is, indwelling as the Spirit now in our spirit. Christ, our shepherd, is in our spirit right now. So he is shepherding from within. And he's overseeing. This doesn't mean he's spying. Like, oh no, message is going on and you're thinking about this. And something bothered you and now this feeling is just flowing around in you. I want to take care of that thing. No. He's there and he realized, I am the shepherd of your soul. Because that's where the problems are mainly. Our souls are complicated. And this involves our mind with all of its aspects, with our emotion, with our will. And the reason, especially the Lord is the shepherd of our soul, is that the more he can take this tender, loving care of your mind, of your memories, of certain memories you wish they would just somehow disappear, or feelings, or even feelings toward brothers and sisters, and now you see them here in the training and you just feel awkward and the feelings come up again. And the Lord is not spying on us. He's just saying, I want to care for you. I want to have a shepherding care for your mind, for your emotion, for your will. Now, why? It's because of the two main functions of our soul. The one function is the organ of expression of the Christ who's in our spirit. And this is of utmost importance, but I'm not going to stay here during this message, but go to the other aspect. The function of our soul is to enjoy the Christ we are experiencing in our spirit. Because actually, and this goes on continually until we are shepherded out of that, we may experience Christ in our spirit, but we don't enjoy the Christ we are experiencing because of the inner condition of certain aspects of our soul. And maybe one simple illustration, maybe you remember this when you were rather young, a teenager, or whatever, that your mother just put something on the plate, somewhat like, you know, previous president, President Bush, he said, I didn't like broccoli. My mother would put broccoli, I'm not going to eat broccoli. No, I'm president of the United States and I'm not going to eat broccoli. But sometimes they would just say, there's just a little bit there, it's healthy. So that's the reason. It's healthy for you. And so you ate your broccoli or whatever it is, so you experienced it. But you didn't like it. You didn't enjoy it. And so the Lord wants us to be joyful people inwardly. We know from Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of Jehovah is our strength. We know from Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord wants to shepherd and adjust anything in you that's hindering you from enjoying Christ, of having a happy heart. And so with this in mind, now we can go through this section with some comments. A, as the shepherd of our souls, Christ oversees our inward condition, caring for the situation of our inner being. And so I'm saying this on the Lord's behalf because this is a training right now. The shepherd of the soul, who's in your spirit, he is overseeing your inward condition on all of us, on me as I'm standing here. All day long, he's been doing this. And I welcomed it. I need it. And caring for the situation of our inner being, caring for it. This one is sad. This one still feels guilty, even though they know they've been forgiven. They can't get over this. Christ's organic shepherding primarily takes care of our soul. He shepherds us by caring for the welfare of our soul. So right now, he cares. What your soul has been experiencing all day long. The inner condition of your soul as you're in the meeting here. Again, I say he's not spying and keeping a record. Oh, this one was thinking that, and they got in their imagination. And this one has a, this brother has a feeling for that sister, and that is just filling him up. He's not shocked by that. He knows how to take care of that kind of feeling. Don't think I'm spying on you. I don't know anybody's inner being. I'm just trying to say in his behalf, he knows because of loving concern. And so he shepherds us by caring for the welfare of our soul and by exercising oversight over the condition of our inner being. The condition of our inner being means a great deal to Christ because it hinders our growth, our enjoyment, our capacity to have genuine fellowship. Three, this kind of shepherding is an inward, intrinsic, organic shepherding. B, because our soul is very complicated. Do you agree with that? That your soul is very complicated. That maybe my parents should have given me a middle name. They named it after a reindeer with a red nose. So I'm Ronald Rudolph Kangas. But I honor my dad, and so I don't mind being Rudolph, but maybe he should have named me Ronald Complicated Kangas. Okay, so I admit that. So we need Christ, who is the life-giving spirit in our spirit, to shepherd us in our soul, to take care, listen to this part carefully, to take care of our mind, emotion, and will with all our problems, needs, and wounds. Wounds. And just a brief illustration of a certain category, not of any particular person, but this has happened many times, where saints just ask for some one-on-one fellowship, whether there's a brother or a sister in a suitable situation. And they said, Brother Ron, someone, you know, they offended me or they troubled me. And I've just been trying my best to forgive that person. I have the heart to forgive. I pray to forgive. But I just can't. It just doesn't go away. And if I see that person, And then all of this rises up within me. And so after listening them carefully without comment, then I pointed this out. Don't ask me how I realized this. You'll find out yourself. I said, actually, dear so-and-so, you have forgiven, but you don't realize you have been wounded. You have been hurt. And the sisters more often are aware of that. The brothers often, I don't know if we're trying to be tough, we kind of suppress it. We won't allow the feeling to be come to our consciousness. And it's really not healthy for us. And I just would point out that you were hurt. And because with the hurt, there's the suffering, there's the pain, and that gives you the feeling you haven't forgiven. And so the Lord right now wants to come to you like he came through that parable in Luke 10 about the Good Samaritan. This man had been beaten and wounded and left on the ground to die. And he came, and then he poured oil and wine into the wound and then bound it up. This is Christ coming to heal the wound with the divine life, the Spirit. And you'll find out when this is cured, you'll realize it's all gone. And it's just like, yes, it's an event. Someone so many years ago did this. It's not gnawing you anymore. And please don't be introspective, but we've all been wounded. Some very, very deeply. And the shepherd of our soul knows this, and he knows when to come and what to do. So I just would appeal to you, just come to him as an open vessel. Let him be the shepherd of your soul, just taking care of all of your inward parts, day and night, so that he can just spread from the Spirit into all of your inner parts, and you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will see. So we just finished this part. Because our soul is very complicated. Okay, one in the subpoints. As our pneumatic shepherd, Christ takes care of us from within our spirit. His shepherding begins from our spirit and spreads to every part of our soul. Just ask him, Lord, today, it's not too late. Lord, just spread wherever you want to go, into my mind, in my imagination, in my memory, in all my feelings, in my will. I'm an open vessel to you. And this will just be a wonderful effect. And your love and your faith in the Lord will be developed more and more. And your capacity to love and care for one another will develop. His shepherding begins from our soul and spreads to every part of our soul. From our spirit, Christ reaches all the parts of our soul and takes care of us in a tender, organic, and all-inclusive way. Tender. Nothing to fear. And all-inclusive. He's thorough. Sooner or later, he will need to reach the depth of our being, every aspect of our inner being. He'd like to do it now. So you are fully mature and rapture ready years before that may take place. So that in your maturity in life, you can do a lot of loving shepherding in this mutual way. It's just part of your being. It's part of your living. This is the inward shepherding of the process and consummated triune God, united and incorporated with the regenerated believers. So now we have the triune God involved in Christ, who is the shepherd of our soul. So, I just remember maybe 25 years ago when this verse became so real to me. And then I could get up very early in the morning. And because it's in Southern California, most of the time the weather is good, the temperature is good, just to walk in this park. I had the energy at the time, maybe a couple hours. And it was just pray walking. And I just would tell him, I said, Lord, you're the shepherd of my soul. I'm just here. Just do what you need to do today. It's so endearing. It's so precious. And the Lord knows. By his operation, he's just been enlarging my heart. You're all in my heart. It's not limited by those who are in this meeting. That you would just have this kind of personal contact with the Lord. Lord, just shepherd my soul. And then in his way, in his time, it would just be so precious to you. Nothing religious, so genuine. Now Roman numeral 5, we're taking a major turn. Those who shepherd the flock of God should shepherd according to God. And yes, 1 Peter 5:2 is spoken specifically to the elders in the church, and Peter was also one, because they have a particular function. But again, they're not in a category by themselves. This applies to all of us. And so, we can put it this way. When we are one with God, we become God in life and nature and are God in our shepherding of others. You're becoming God in life and nature. This is now the high peak applied to us in a shepherding life, in the church life. And it will be according to God effortlessly because you're a God-man. And more you're learning to live a God-man life. And so now an aspect of your God-man being and your God-man living is shepherding according to God because you are becoming God in life and nature, and therefore you have his loving heart, his forgiving heart, his seeking spirit. His shepherding spirit is just part of your being. And so it just comes out spontaneously. Just allow me to say this. And I don't know if the brother is here or not. But last Lord's Day morning, I was in District 3. And it was during the second time when the saints are speaking and prophesying. And there was one young brother, I don't know how, could it be 21 or 22? I think I'd seen him once before, but I didn't know who he was. And he went to the microphone and he spoke for a minute and a half. And his speaking was marvelous prophesying, meaning he had a vision. He was speaking on behalf of God. He was speaking God. But this was contrary to my natural disposition. I just had the leading after the meeting was over. We were both in the front row. He was over here. I was over here. I walked over and I said, I don't think I know you. And we just shook hands. I said, I wanted to let you know that your speaking was genuine prophesying. And the Lord is really going to develop this. That's all. For about 45 seconds. I didn't say I'm coming to shepherd you. I didn't say I'm I'm an octogenarian and this and that. It's just happens spontaneously. And then, okay, no, I can't do the then. Okay. Thank you, Lord. That's part of the inward shepherding, directing my will to do and not to do. Point A. The shepherd according to God is the shepherd according to God's nature, desire, way, and glory. Let me just pause here. According to God's nature. Whoa, what that includes. And His desire. His desire is to His children to grow in life. His desire is that His children would have joy. He desires that His children will be supplied because He knows what's going to happen in 2 days. This is His loving concern. And His way, I mentioned this earlier, it's His way of doing it. May the Lord just have mercy and grace to all of us that we do what the Lord wants and the way He does it. All of us. And those that have responsibility in the work and in the church especially. The Lord wants to perfect all of us. Because He's concerned with what we do, but He's equally, maybe even more concerned with the way you're doing it. And the way should become God and glory. Not for self-expression, for God's expression. Not for our being appreciated. It's for God being glorified. Not according to our preference. No bias. No partiality. No form of racism. You love everyone the same. And I really mean it. You love everyone the same. And not your interest. And not your purpose. And surely not your disposition. B, according to God, in 1 Peter 5:2 means that we live God. Only those who live God can shepherd according to God. So see the connection between messages 5 and 6, just as our dear brother pointed it out, that the more we're becoming God in life and nature, the more we have a God-man life, then the more we will function according to God, and then we will live God, God in Christ as the Spirit. But it's not something that you say, okay, I'm going to come in contact person, but I'm going to live God while I'm doing it. Then that's not genuine. If you're really doing it, you're not aware of it. It's spontaneous because life is like that. And so, so it's according to God. So we live God. Only those who live God can shepherd according to God. So there will be a cycle. The more Christ is gaining ground in us, the more we live God, the more you'll shepherd God. The more you shepherd God, the more you'll live in God. This is the cycle. It's organic. One, God's economy is to work Himself into us so that we may receive Him as our life and our life supply in order to live Him. We are participating in the divine life and the divine nature so that we can live God in our humanity. Oh, I look forward to message 10. And I'll just give you a little word ahead of time. You have the right as a child of God to participate in many different aspects of God's divinity. You have the right. You're a child of God, born of God. And so you will be participating the divine life and the divine nature. And then you will live God in our humanity. So you will be Jesusly human. Sometimes trainees have asked me, what was Vavili like? And there's a lot I could say. I'm just one of many, many co-workers. I went as a special co-worker with him. I was just one. I want to make that clear. But I often say he is the most human brother I've ever known. Jesusly human. With the high peak of the divine revelation, these marvelous truths coming forth in the last 3 years of his ministry, but Jesusly human. See, in order to shepherd according to God, we need to become God in life, nature, expression, and function, but not in the Godhead. So now you're getting clear of the teaching and the doctrine concerning God becoming man and man becoming God. But it's not a mere theory. This is to be applied to us. We need to become God. I sincerely believe, I'm going to say this on behalf of all of us, when you exit this meeting place, maybe around 9:40 p.m. on Saturday, you're going to walk out with more God in you. This has been 6 days of God, gaining God. And so God's economy is to work himself into us so that we may receive him as our life and life supply in order to live him. Okay, now down to one under C. Sorry. We need to be filled to the brim with the divine life, enjoying the triune God as the fountain, the spring, the river, to become the totality of the divine life, even to become the divine life itself. In other words, you drink the living water gets into you, then it becomes a fountain and a spring and the flowing water. This is the triune God as life in you right now. And wow, this is really a marvelous shepherding, but you're not aware of it. You're talking to one another, and the triune God is flowing out. And I can just say briefly, on that same Lord's Day, during the break for fellowship, I was just outside with a number of saints, and a sister younger than I, but maybe in the 70s, and we've had some brief fellowship before. Maybe we had three minutes of fellowship. But it was so clear with all that she has gone through. She's well into the stage of maturity. And we were just conversing for 2 or 3 minutes openly. And I know we both left supplied. It's mutual shepherding without realizing it's going on. You can be talking to one another for a minute during the break. And the life is flowing out into that one. Life is flowing out from that one to you. You don't have to have a label on it. But it actually happens. Just what would happen if all of us during the hour and a half time between this and the... No, sorry, that won't be hour and a half. This is not the afternoon meeting. Anyway, after the meeting, just this contact with one another. And we're not saying, okay, I'm going to do some shepherding now. I want to see this person. No, you're going to try to do it. That's your effort to try to be it and do it. You just live. And you contact this one, and life flows mutually. But what would happen if this would happen in thousands of lives every day for the rest of this year? Just what would happen? This kind of mutual shepherding. We need to become God in His attributes of love, light, righteousness, and holiness. Sisters, get ready. You are becoming love. God is love. So you're becoming God. God is love. That means you're becoming love. Brothers, you're becoming light. God is light. Aren't you becoming God in life and nature? Now let's apply these attributes. And of course, you'll become love and you'll become light and you'll become righteousness and you'll become holiness. But you'll be Jesusly human more and more. This is really going to happen. I'm looking forward to this. Three, we need to be the reproduction of Christ, the expression of God, so that in our shepherding we express God, not the self with His disposition and peculiarities. And so, you young adults in front of me, don't worry right now about disposition and peculiarities. When you're on the edge of middle age, maybe He'll be a little swifter in gaining ground in you. It will be time for Him to go deeper and say, I created you with a certain disposition, but it's been Satanized. But now I'm going to go to that part of your being thoroughly and gain that for my expression. And then also, we all have peculiarities. In other words, we have natural characteristics, but often as we are growing older, then the characteristics become peculiar. You know? And so we want to be saved from those. Now, you're too young, but others, don't worry. I'm not going to be examining your peculiarities. No, I don't do that. But if you're concerned about it, just open to the Lord and let Him shepherd you. Just shepherd me. I open the depths of my being to you. And so our shepherding will express God, not ourself. Four, we need to become God in His function of shepherding the flock of God according to what He is and according to the goal of His economy. The goal of His economy is to build up the organic body of Christ, which simultaneously is the manifestation of the one new man and is also the bride who has made herself ready. That's the goal. We'll come back to this in a little while. D. If we would shepherd according to God, we need to become one with God. The basic principle of the Bible is that in His economy, God is making Himself one with man and man one with Him. And from time to time, the Lord just may move in you to say, Lord, please do what you need to do to make me one with you as God and make yourself one with me. Just that simple prayer. And then just go through another normal day. But as He kind of inwardly, as part of our inner shepherding, He's indicating, I'm about to touch something deeper now. And so I need you to be an open vessel. And so He comes with grace and love and light and a cherishing shepherding spirit so that you will just eventually, because this is a procedure until you can really say between you and the Lord, every part of my inner being is now open to you. Even the parts I don't know, they're so deep within me, I don't know. But you know. And for the sake of your corporate expression, for the body to be built up and the bride to make herself ready, Lord, I want you to saturate and permeate every part of my being now for the sake of the body. On my part, I'm not holding anything back. But you may not be, many of you that are newer or younger, you just don't have, you're not comfortable going, opening that much. Okay, open it like this. Don't try to imitate. And don't try by self-effort to do what I just mentioned. But eventually, you'll be wide open in your personal life. We can't walk around being wide open. We have to be careful. There's an enemy. But when we're with the Lord, to give Him access to the depths of our being with His shepherding, loving care, the Lord will be able to do so much in a rather short period of time. That's why I say, if there's anyone in this training who's maybe in the 70s, maybe in the 80s, who are, you're just concerned, you're nearing the end of your course, you're wondering where you are, I tell you from my heart, it's not too late. The Lord can do a lot in a month, day by day, and He will. If you give yourself to Him, He will not hold back, and you will finish your course in maturity and in victory. And those of you who are here for the first kind of semi-annual training like this and getting spiritually bombarded with all kinds of things, well, it's not too soon. Just have some personal time with the Lord day by day. Turn your heart to Him. That's first. Exercise your spirit to contact Him. And just let Him supply you. Let Him love you. Let Him shepherd your soul. Okay. And so the basic principle of we read that one too. God desires that the divine life and the human life be joined together to become one life and one living. Galatians 2:20. When we are one with God, we become God in life and nature, and are God in our shepherding of others. Now we have a turn to, in order to shepherd according to God, we need to live a shepherding life. This, of course, requires at least another message, if not a whole conference, but I can emphasize some of the points. The more we are constituted with Christ, the more we will spontaneously live a shepherding life, because the constitution of Christ in our spiritual life has a shepherding aspect. That's an aspect of His life. When we are being filled with His life, this aspect becomes our aspect. We're constituted with Christ. Then we will spontaneously live a shepherding life. You'll just do it no matter what kind of disposition you are. It'll just happen effortlessly. Because this is Christ living in you, His shepherding life. Point B is an important matter that I would emphasize, but I can't develop. In order to have a shepherding life, we need an enlarged heart, a heart to embrace all of God's people. And if you look at those verses from 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing to them, and he just said, "My heart is open to you." But then he said, he indicated, "Your heart is very narrow." And so this is something the Lord wants to produce in us, to enlarge our heart. A heart to embrace all of God's people. I'm not exaggerating. There's nothing of the self here. The Lord is in the process of enlarging your heart, that in your heart you can just contain thousands and thousands of saints. They're just in your heart. And there's a loving concern for all of them. And when you hear that this brother, he just had some medical examination and there's some this kind of disease developing, that's not just information. How can I forget that? I don't have an opinion what he should do. I'm going to be quiet regarding that. But it matters. It affects his life, his wife, his children, his grandchildren. That's a shepherding life. It's a loving concern. It's there. And they know it's there. It's effortless. Are you willing for the Lord to do what he needs to do to enlarge your heart? Your heart is not just composed of things related to you, your family. But your heart is really enlarged. And so I would ask the sisters, I would ask the brothers another question in a moment. When you come to the Lord's table meeting this Lord's Day, and you're about to partake of the bread and the cup, can you honestly say, inwardly to the Lord, Lord, I love every sister in the Lord's recovery. The same thing applies to the brothers. But I would say to you, when you come to the Lord's table meeting this Lord's Day, and there you're there at the table, can you say, as the cup is the bread and cup, they're coming to you, Lord, I thank you. You are my peace offering. I am at peace with every member of the body of Christ. You will know whether or not. If you're not at peace, the indwelling Christ will let you know and then guide you how to take care of it. Because Romans 12 says, be at peace with everyone as far as it depends on you. You can't do anything about the other person. They want to feel this and think that, that's up to them, but on your part. So the Lord is shepherding in this way, enlarging our heart. See, a shepherding life is a life that warms up others by cherishing them in the humanity of Jesus, to nourish them in the divinity of Christ, with the riches of Christ. That's what's going on, but you're not aware of that. You're just having fellowship with that person. But they will walk away, they will sense such cherishing. I just feel so cherished and encouraged just by that 2-minute conversation. You were not aware of it. You were only Christ conscious, not self-conscious. The shepherding life is an all-fitting life, a life that is able to fit all situations, accept any kind of environment, and work under any condition. And this is exactly the case more and more. Eventually you will see, and you'll be in all kinds of situations personally, all kinds of difficult environments. But a shepherding life, you're able to shepherd someone even in that situation, even in what you are going through. It's just there because you're an open vessel for the Lord to dispense himself into you and for the Lord to flow out of you. Then we need to shepherd the flock of God according to the loving and tender heart of our Father God, and according to the seeking and shepherding spirit of our Savior Christ. Now we come. Oh, very good with the time. That we come to this, it seems to be a very short section, and it is, you know, numerically, but there's something really precious here. The shepherding that builds up the body of Christ. Okay? So here is the basic God's view of this. He cannot come. He cannot come and rapture the living overcomers until, to the extent that satisfies him, that the body of Christ has been built up in the churches. And he's fully aware of this at this very moment. He's aware of all the local churches. Are you just a local church? Are the brothers clear? That actually, spiritually speaking, the body is the spiritual father. The local churches are like the spiritual children. A local church is an expression of the universal organic body of Christ. How much of the reality of the body of Christ is in your church life? How much? And so, once we become aware of this, we realize that the goal of shepherding builds up the body. When the body's built up, I repeat this, simultaneously the one new man is mature and manifested, and his bride has made herself ready. But the shepherding that builds up the body of Christ is mutual shepherding. Not just some that are more experienced, or they may have a loving concern and they do a lot, and you know, others, they just haven't grown much, they haven't been gained that much. But what the Lord is needing, and I believe right now he's praying for, I sincerely believe this, this is the inner sense, he's interceding for all of us, that there would be mutual shepherding. I, an octogenarian brother, need shepherding from any saint of any age. I'm not cultivating it. Without that kind of shepherding, I wouldn't be alive here. Without their prayers, without their shepherding emails and texts that we're praying. This is shepherding. I can't live without it. It's a corporate matter. And then, simultaneously, the shepherding life flows out of me. Maybe about 3 or 4 weeks after the surgery, I and brother, I'm going to mention the name because he's so dear in a positive way, Brother Ray McNee in New Zealand. He just had a major surgery. I had a major surgery. And we're both in the early stage of recovery. And we had a live telephone. We were in the highest realm together. Shepherding together without knowing we were doing it. We're just going through these things. Shepherding together because it's mutual. That's why we need to realize we're all sheep. We're all shepherds. Maybe I should have used this illustration before, but just let me ask you, when you were about 10 years old, did anyone ever help you or shepherd you with anything? Did you ever help anyone? Did you have a younger brother or sister, maybe he's 4 or 5? So you were only 10, but you could help someone, and someone could help you. That's just being a human being. If you're a human being, the human life enables you to care for others. Well, now you're a child of God. The capacity to care and shepherd is in you. It's there. Actually, you've been doing it more than you've ever realized about it, and it will do more. And so we're not doing this deliberately. Oh, no, during the time between now and the next meeting, then I'm going to try to do some shepherding. Don't try to act it out. Even if you're in a car, have to drive half an hour to get home, 4 or 5 in the car, there'll be mutual shepherding there. There'll be mutual praying and singing there. I hope you're getting the point. It's mutual shepherding. Without this, the body will not be built. And without the body being built, the Lord cannot come back. A, all of us need to be under the organic shepherding of Christ and be one with Him to shepherd one another. We are both sheep and shepherds, shepherding and being shepherded in mutuality. Lord, please enlighten all of us with this. In mutual shepherding, we shepherd one another in love. The shepherding has to be eventually with this element as the major factor. You're shepherding in love, not out of duty, not out of necessity. It's just love, which is God. And look at the last point. Through this mutual shepherding, the church as the body of Christ will build itself up in love. One time, Brother Nee was asked, what is the most difficult verse in the New Testament for it to be fulfilled? And he mentioned Ephesians 4:16. The body builds up itself up in love. I truly believe it's true. But the time has come that the body will build itself up in love. And the body will build itself up in love because more and more there will be mutual shepherding. This mutual shepherding will build up the church. The body will build itself up in love. That's the goal. So shepherding according to God sounds so simple, but it's marvelous. Let's just proceed with this day by day, forever, until the Lord, once again I say, raptures us all. So pray for about a minute, then we have ample time for some sharing. Brother Bob will direct us. Please pray.